Tonight I want to talk about just this now. And I offer that as a phrase or a mantra that can help bring us back to a mindful way of dealing with just this now, instead of all that, who knows when. The purpose of this practice, if you were to bring it down to three words, as a Zen master was once asked to do, it's attention, attention, and attention. It's what we're focused on. And of course, why? And I'm suggesting that it should be just this, something that's happening right now. Meditation is a template for the way we can practice mindfulness in our daily life. It's very simple. We focus on one aspect of our current experience. In Vipassana, this is usually the breath or some other object that we've chosen to pay attention to during the meditation. And then whatever arises that predominates over the breath. So in Buddhist thought, we pay attention to the six senses. The five that are associated with the body, the five sense organs, and then the sixth is the mind. The five sense organs give us experiences that are in the world around us, and the mind gives us experiences that are incorporeal, anytime. So even though I said that meditation is simple, it can be kind of complex because the minds and the emotions are complicated. We have all of this subconscious stuff going on. And as a result, as our practice deepens, we depend more and more on wisdom to discern what's happening. What is this right now? So when we go about our daily life trying to be mindful, there's a lot going on. Not just all the stuff that's going on when we sit and meditate, but the whole world, the universe, changing and being active around us. So this phrase, just this now, sets priorities for what we're going to pay attention to, as it can do in meditation. It asks, what part of now is the best thing for me to engage with? And the word this helps us decide. I'm going to go back, though, to the word just, because it will help us select and understand what we focus on. Just carries this sense of keep it simple. Focus on just this much that's important. The necessary basics of what's going on. And to illustrate how we can get away from this, many years ago I was talking to a friend who was saying that she was upset. You know, she was having a tough day. Things were going badly, and she was worried about this and that, and something had happened, and then there was this that was coming up, and you know, she had this list that just kept growing the longer she talked. And it occurred to me, and I shared it with her because she was asking my advice, that she was adding up things that weren't really necessary for her to pay attention to just now. And this was such good advice that I can't count how many times I've needed to pay attention to it myself since then, because it's something that my mind just naturally tends to do. Add up stuff that isn't necessary. It's not part of what I really need to be paying attention to. So just keep it simple. For example, you know, standing meditation is where we just pay attention to our posture, the feeling of our weight on our feet, whether the joints are loose or tight. Pay attention to how the muscles are from the head to the toe. Now we can make it a little more complicated by doing walking meditation. We watch the movement of our feet on a course that we've set in advance. And get a little more complicated and do work meditation. We pay attention to what's going on in the body and the mind as we engage in behavior that's for a purpose, a goal-oriented activity, and maybe some interaction with other people, very, very minimal. Well, so we can go a little farther along this line, and there you are, you're standing in a grocery store. You're just standing there. You're standing there for a purpose, though. You're going to buy the food that you're going to take home to cook a meal for guests who are coming over in 2 hours. And two people ahead of you, you notice somebody who's emptying her purse onto the counter. She's up there at the cashier. By the 10th item, you start to get irritated. And by the 20th item, you're starting to feel angry toward her. She finally finds her wallet, but now she discovers she doesn't have enough money. So she starts taking the items that she was going to buy and puts them aside. And it's been 10 minutes. And you notice that you have this urge to either speak out or act out some of the anger that you're feeling. Or maybe you turn that anger inward. This is one of my favorites, and say, I always get in the wrong line. So what's happened? You're still just standing there. But even though nothing has changed about the posture of your body, the way your joints are, etc., your mood is much darker. The sixth sense of the mind and the heart has come into play. So we need to get back to just this. Just the fact that we're standing there and this cloud of irritation and unhappiness, clearly it's not going to do us any good. It's only going to make us miserable. So there are ways to practice sticking with the this that is important, the just this. And we can start by getting out of bed. You know, most mornings it's sort of like poof, and our feet are on the floor, and away we go. It's like racing horses, the moment the gate opens, there we are. Just take those few seconds to notice how you get out of bed. What are the body mechanics of doing it? Do you sit up first? Do you roll? Do you put the, it's not terribly important. It's certainly not rocket science, but it's bringing the attention to the very simple basics of doing the important thing that needs to be done, getting out of bed. Gil Fronsdale says that in mindfulness, we're continually asking, what is this? And we're not really seeking an answer. We're just opening the mind to exploration, this simple kind of exploration of how do I get out of bed? How did my feet get on the floor? Gil says it's like turning on a light in a dark room and just seeing what's there, letting the question reveal the present experience. This kind of investigation is the natural activity of the quiet and alert mind. You go for a walk in the woods, and you naturally notice the trees, the sky, flowers, animals, birds, the sounds and the smells, and there's a willing observation of what's happening that's careful and precise, and it has a loving quality to it. Ajahn Chah wrote in A Still Forest Pool that we can let our mind be like that, like a clear pool that all of the other beings come to. And we can watch many strange and wonderful things come and go, but your mind can still be quiet. And he says, this is the happiness of the Buddha. Even standing in that grocery line, 10 minutes, the mind can just be still. And in dealing with that sixth sense that we go through life with, if you have many, many experiences of feeling anxious or angry or sad or cheerful, don't assume that that's what you're feeling now, even though it seems to kind of fit into the category. Just investigate how the body is feeling now. Say you're in that grocery line. Spend a little time paying that loving attention to the body. Oh, this is anger. This is frustration that I didn't get in another line. What are the thoughts that are arising now? When we watch ourselves noticing and observing like this, what we do is create just a little space. We just back off a bit from what's going on in the mind so that we don't take it so seriously. It's a phenomenon just like any other. It's like something that's going on in the woods, and we can observe it and not take it so personally. Another exercise that we can do to be with just this is to pick some routine activity that we do every day, like brushing the teeth, getting dressed, washing the dishes, something a little more complicated than getting out of bed, but still pretty simple. Thich Nhat Hanh suggests this, and he says, wash each piece relaxingly. This is washing the dishes. Consider each plate sacred. Follow your breath to prevent your mind from straying. Do not try to hurry to get the job over with. Let it be the most important thing in life, the thing that you're doing right now. Let it be washing dishes meditation. Really do whatever it is you're doing. Just this. Live your life fully now. We can practice this with listening. Start with, you know, just basic hearing or some other sense, seeing. There are many things that we perceive that are pleasant or unpleasant, but the mind, in receiving those sensations, sensory input, can be spacious regardless of the flavor, the pleasantness or unpleasantness of it. So we can open to them without reactivity. I used to be tormented by leaf blowers and jackhammers. And, you know, those trucks that have boiling tar in them, and boy, getting behind one of those just made me crazy. But then, when my first sitting group, we met in a church, and every week, Monday evening, that was the janitor's time to vacuum our floor. And so for a year and a half or so, it was vacuum meditation for our group. And we all got to the point where we were just a little dependent on it. You know, it kept us mindful. And we all gave up. I mean, we lost being irritated by the vacuum. So when we go a little farther with staying with just this experience, with listening, for example, we can go to deep listening when we're communicating with someone and let go of the thoughts going on in our minds about what the person is saying and pay attention to the words, the posture, the facial expressions, the tone of voice. If judgments do arise, just notice them, let them go. Doesn't mean you have to agree with what this person is saying, but just let yourself listen. I was a mentor to a student who had major issues with her brother. And after taking a meditation course that I was teaching, she did this kind of deep listening. And she reported back that when she just listened to her brother speak, she didn't feel any stress. That what the kind of a communication that used to be a torment to her now was something that she could just stand in the grocery store line and let it be. So the third dimension of just this now is the now. Keeping it into this moment, this place, where your body is. When people go on retreat or take a meditation course, they usually report that their minds are doing a lot of planning. They're going into the future and arranging the furniture there instead of whatever is going on now. And in fact, this planning is, I think, really the second most popular thing that the mind does next to thinking about me. I don't mean Rebecca, I mean, you know, all of us. We like, that's number one. But planning is a close number two. So here's an exercise for that. Pick something simple to plan. For example, a meal, an evening activity, or some point that or points that you want to discuss with someone. And then sit down, Check in with your body. Relax your eyes, jaws, shoulders, etc. And then begin planning this. And keep planning, but maintain a light awareness with your body. This is now. So what you're doing is you're mindful of planning the future. So it's still now. Planning doesn't have to take us into another universe. Planning really is, most of the time, a way to cover up fear or anxiety. We're worried about how things are going to go. And if we don't do that planning mindfully, we're going to have to keep doing it over and over and over, mindlessly, because it's the defense we're using to not worry. And some people get hooked on this kind of worrying. I had one student tell me that he was a little worried about meditating because he felt that he depended on anxiety to function, that was sort of his fuel to get him through his tasks. Well, he followed the course for 2 weeks, and then he reported back that a day came when he was feeling pretty tranquil, and he was almost disappointed to report that he actually got more done than usual. Just this experience that I'm having right now, or you're having right now, is physical plus mental phenomena arising in the moment. And it's, as they say in Zen, it's nothing special. It also doesn't contain me or mine. It's very simple. It's just this. Nothing special. That anxiety, that mental baggage that we often bring to the moment doesn't really help us if our fears come true. In a moment of danger, for example, if a child is ill, or if your tire blows out as you're driving, fear or not wanting this to be happening is no help at all. It doesn't do any good. It gets in the way. Because the fact is simple that you must deal with it. And when we accept the moment, just this, now, we can respond to it more skillfully. I want to be clear that I have no intention of advocating that we strip away our thoughts and emotions. Just that we use wisdom to know what needs attention and what kind of attention to bring to it. Now, often what needs attention is our mind states. By meeting them with a non-judgmental attention, we can create that space I was talking about earlier. And in that calm space, we can choose how to respond to whatever has given rise to those mind states. An example came up the day that I was starting to work on this Dharma talk. One of the first things that happened to me that morning was that I got a telephone call from my sister, who's been my best friend all of my life. Love her dearly. She's had a lot of health troubles in the last 7 years. And she announced that now she's got lung cancer. And it was like a big boxing glove just smashed into my chest. I couldn't speak for at least a minute. And then she went on to explain, small, they've been watching it for months. They've decided what to do, reasons why they can't do other things, but probably the prognosis is pretty good. But my mind was clear as I finished talking to her. I went into my desk and I started working. Total fuzz. Could barely get anything done. Finally, I went, because I didn't know what was going on. I thought, maybe I'm coming down with something. I finally went and I sat and meditated, and I realized that even though my mind could rationally understand that probably this was going to be okay, I had really suffered an emotional hit. And I hadn't processed that yet. So I saw my grief and my worry, and when I let them come and go naturally in my awareness, they healed. Or at least they began to heal. I'm not carrying around that heavy emotional load anymore since sitting with those feelings. So I just want to end with a quote from Ajahn Sumedho. He says, "The spacious mind has room for everything. It is like the space in a room, which is never harmed by what goes in and out of it." Thank you.